Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be up here, especially on Commissioning Sunday, as we send out a team to go and tell the gospel to those who have never heard in India this week. I want to say thank you to all of you who have come, especially from our prayer teams who usually aren't here on a Sunday morning. I want to say thank you for that. As we commissioned our team out this morning, we did so covering them with the full armor of God. And throughout our time today, we're going to just survey the book of Ephesians. We're going to be just shallow, very much surface level as we start off. My goal today is to introduce you to our prayer calendar for the next couple of weeks with our team in India. And we're going to look in depth at verses 3 through 14 in Ephesians chapter 1. So if you've got your Bible or you've got a Bible app, go ahead and be getting open to that. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. As we look at these verses here, this passage, it's a 202-word Greek sentence. It's one sentence, and it says, in Christ, or in him, 8 times in the course of these 12 verses. But before we jump into that, I want to draw our attention to something that my attention was drawn to a couple years ago at a conference. John Piper asked the question. He said, why do we do the things that we do when we gather as Christians? That these Christians, they gather together and there is preaching and singing and preaching and singing and singing and preaching and singing and preaching. Every time these crazy Christians get together, they're singing and preaching. Why? Let us understand why it is that we do the things that we do, to exercise dominion over the rest of creation as God called us to do. And as we do those things, it's out of worship and out of reverence to God, giving him the glory and the honor that he alone deserves. As we look at this passage here, verses 3 through 14, we're going to break it up into 3 different sections according to the Godhead. We're going to see some doctrine laid out in this passage that can fuel action for us. As we do that, we're going to see how God the Father chose us in Christ the Son through the Holy Spirit. I don't want us to get tripped up on those as we go through it, but I hope that you're open to that page or you got your Bible app open, and we are ready to go this morning. Like I said, we're going to jump into these verses, and then we are going to survey, and I'm not even going to do justice to the book of Ephesians, but I just want to highlight some things through our time today so that through the next couple of weeks, while we are in India, that you know what it is that we're talking about as you're praying through this book. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. We're going to pause there and unpack that for a moment. There's some difficult words that they can sometimes lead to dissension among believers and can sometimes cause those who aren't in the church to question what is up with God, this God thing that you Christians do. Talking about chose and talking about predestined, I want to unpack those words by looking at them in the original Greek and what they mean for us and to look at them, what it is. But before we do that, I want you to repeat after me here and say, you were chosen. On three. 1, 2, 3. You were chosen. This word chosen in the Greek, I'm probably going to butcher all of the Greek that I'm going to say today, and I will be rebuked by Tim Hayes and Michael Pippen throughout this week, and that is okay, because I mess up, and I'm a sinner. We're going to get to that part of the passage, too. But in the meantime, we look at this Greek word up here for chosen. Ekleomahi. Ekleomahi. And what that Greek word for chosen means, it means out of, or speaking to a conclusion. More properly, is to select out by a highly deliberate choice with a definite outcome. We usually think of this within this context as the destination of divine selection for salvation, that God chose you. You guys already said it. You were chosen. from there, we are comfortable actually using this word chosen to describe the way that God picks people. We look at the Old Testament, and we classify the Israelites as God's chosen people. Hebrews 11 lays out a list of people who by faith that God had chosen, and they make some crazy actions. But God chose them to do that. These are people like Noah, who built the ark. What a weirdo. If you were the rest of everybody else, you're like, why is this guy building an ark? Noah didn't go seeking out God for that. God chose Noah to do that. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham didn't come before God trying to make a deal. God went to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. How about Joseph? Thrown out by his brothers, but God chose him to prepare a way for his brothers and his family. Moses, similar to Abraham, he didn't go seeking God. He ran away from God. He ran away from where God had him. But God chose Moses to bring the Israelites out of captivity. Joshua, we can continue with Gideon, Barak, Samson, Ruth, all the rest of the judges. King David, man after God's own heart, God chose him. And then we get into the New Testament, the apostles who God called and chose. And then through the New Covenant, the church, us. You already said it. You were chosen. We move from there into the next one, the word predestined. It's important for us to, as we start to unpack this, look at the end of verse 4 and the beginning of verse 5. It says, in love that he predestined you for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. In love. I want you to say, you were loved on three. One, two, three. You were loved. Man, you guys are doing great. Everybody's excited. Man, this is awesome. We were worshiping this morning. So this Greek word for predestined, proorizu. I'm not getting any thumbs down from Michael or Tim yet, so I must be doing all right. But this is exciting when we think about this. So we know that God chose us, that he predestined us. For this word predestined, here's what this means. Pre-horizon or predetermined limits, boundaries. I want you to say this with me. Before boundaries. One, two, three. Before boundaries. I want to give you a clear picture of how much God loves you and how he predestined you in love. This, by definition, this word predestined, you break down the roots for it, it means before there were boundaries. If we go back to the beginning of the book, in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3, God says, let there be light. There is light, there is darkness, there is light, the first day. If there's a separation between light and dark, there is a boundary. This just says that God chose you before that. In love. Before the first day, God loved you and he chose you. It's important for us to know that God loves us. Just to think about that. And Kristen mentioned it in her story, that before there were boundaries, God chose us. This entire passage is about worship. If this ever causes dissension, we are looking at it in the wrong context. This passage is about worship. That's the reason that we go. John Piper says that missions exist because worship does not. And to say that is to say that we go to these places to tell them about Jesus, that they might understand that God loves them and that God chose them before the end of the first day. And just to clarify there, the sun doesn't get created till the fourth day. So this isn't like, let there be light, and there's the sun and the moon. This is, let there be light, and he chose you. Verses 7 through 10, we look at the part now that focuses on Christ. And as we do this, I just want to draw attention real quick that in this beginning part, he called us to be holy and blameless before him, which is something that none of us can do. But he makes a way for that because he chose us. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Again, this is about worship, friends. Church, we are called then to give him glory and honor and praise. And as we go to India, as you go and you share Jesus with your friends, with your family, God is bringing about all things to him, that he would be worshiped and glorified as he alone deserves. He brings that about through his Son, according to his purpose. Verses 11 through 14 now, as we continue to breeze through this. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. More worship. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. There is no reason to ever fight over this passage, regardless of theological views or doctrine, to the praise, the glory of his name. Chosen, predestined by the Father, brought about, completed in the Son, sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is how we go. And that is why that we go. You see, as we talk about God choosing us, we also see in that verse there that when you heard in him also, when you heard the word of truth, verse 13, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, then you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That you heard it. If you don't hear it, you can't respond. It's the purpose of his will. We've been asked, all of us on the team, at one point or another, why do you got to go to India to do that? Can't you do that here in Arnold, Imperial, St. Louis? Yes, we can. But the same way that we have bookended our 5 faith goals here at Encounter Church through Daring Faith, the same way that we are to go to all places of the earth to continue to bring all things to him. In the bookends of our faith goal, I just want to lay this out for you. They just spell out faith, F-A-I-T-H. The first one, faith, the F, is to fill a new facility with 1,500 worshipers by 2020, Easter of 2020. And that's not just about getting butts in seats. That's about people who have heard and have responded according to the way that God chose them. These are people who have changed the course of their life to make a commitment to being there on a Sunday morning. We are believing God for that. That's the first one. The last one, like I said, bookends. The last one, H, is to help share the gospel to the remaining 3,300 to 3,400 unreached, unengaged people groups, or we'll abbreviate these UUPGs. We have way too many acronyms. All this Christianese is just crazy, but just stick with me here. This unreached, unengaged people groups, that means that not only less than 2% of their population would consider themselves born-again Christians, but it also means that nobody has planted a church there within 3 to 5 years, that there is no progress. But that's okay. Here's why that's okay. We estimate there being a little over 16,000 unreached, or rather, people groups as a whole, 16,000 people groups. Only 3,300, 3,400 are left. Amen. We're in the final quarter as God continues to unite all things to him. As we continue through this, again, like I said, we are going to start breezing through the book of Ephesians here. So stick with me and just continue to follow along. In verse 18, have the eyes of your heart enlightened to know the hope to which he has called you. There it is, worship. Again, as he laid out, chosen, completed through the Son, sealed with the Holy Spirit, that we are meant to. The chief end of God is to praise him, to give him glory and honor and worship accordingly. As the eyes of your heart are enlightened to know the hope to which he has called you. Now, moving very quickly into chapter 2, verse 1 And you were dead in the trespasses and sins. We're going to pause right there. I want you to say, dead in sin on three. One, two, three. Dead in sin. Awesome. Now we're going to skip down to verse 4. Because you guys picked that one up so well. Thanks. You're allowing me to go fast. But verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I want you to say, by grace through faith. By grace through faith. One, two, three. By grace through faith. This is how we're saved. It is a gift of God as we laid out with what God planned and how Christ brought it about, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is by grace through faith. Man, wow. Verse 9 and 10, as we continue to do that, just kind of a little bit more of an exclamation point on this. Not your own doing, but a gift of God, so that no one can boast. Created in Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We get to walk in the good works that God planned beforehand. And he gets glory and honor and praise by us doing that. How exciting is that? Again, continuing to go through this. I'm going to cover a lot of ground in the next few minutes. So please stick with me here. He talks about then in the rest of chapter 2, being one in Christ. How, if we can't boast, it's okay that we can be one together in Christ, because it's not about me. It's not about Luke. So we get to rejoice in that. And verses 19 through 22 is something that I want us to look at here as we look again at the idea of united all things in him for his glory. 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens and the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. As we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we continue to walk in the good works that he planned for us, that we are continued to be made more like him. Paul chose to reveal the mystery of the gospel to the Gentiles. He was called to do that. He actually starts off this letter by declaring himself, introducing himself, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That's how he identifies himself, and that's how he wants people to know who he is. And so he goes to the Gentiles, and because of that, you and me, unless you have some Jewish ancestry, which I just wouldn't know. But as a Gentile, we get to rejoice in the fact that Paul was called to do that. Because as Gentiles, we can trace our lineage back in Christ to that. To people going obediently. Just like our team is getting ready to go to in India. Verses, into chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, Paul is saying he's not even worthy to go and do this because it's by grace through faith that he is saved. So why should he get to do anything? No reason to boast. Here we go. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. We stood up here with the team, and you guys commissioned us out. That was beautiful. Thank you. Not just you who will be joining me on the field, those of you who will be praying and fasting for us and who already have been praying and fasting, those of you who have sacrificially given to help our team get to where we are going to be going. Through the church, the manifest wisdom of God. We are called to do that. We have been chosen by God, adopted into his family. We are called then to go out and do that. It is not our responsibility to make them make a decision. All we get to do is tell the story. That was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And this is exactly what we're going to go and do in India. It's what I did in Turkey a couple months ago. And as I went and I shared the story among Jesus of those who have never heard. And then those that God chose, they respond having heard and come into salvation. How do we pray for this? Paul tells us specifically how to pray and how I need you to be praying. Every person on our India team needs you to be praying according to chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And here's what we need to pray. And I need you to understand this before we read this. When we go into these villages, we aren't doing like a Billy Graham crusade where we're going to invite everybody to come and we're going to preach in front of the entire village or anything like that. Instead, we're going to go and look for people of peace and to go into their homes and invest in them. We are going to go deep with a few. And so here, verses 17 through 19, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We're only in these villages for 4 days. And their lives are not going to change because of what Luke or Bitsy or Tom or Trent or Ben or Christy or anybody else on our team. Because of what we teach them in and of ourselves. But because of how we teach them to learn more about God. So we need you. It is as much a responsibility on those of you who are here praying as us who are going and telling that this would take place. Continuing on from here, we see that it ends, that verse, chapter 3, rather, ends saying that God, who is abundantly able to do more than anything that we can ask or imagine. How can we comprehend that he chose us before the beginning of time? And that he's going to bring and unite all things to him before the end. Of course he can do infinitely and abundantly more than anything we can ask or imagine. He's God. And so what does this mean for us, though? As we look into chapter 4, we're then laid out how we can have unity in the body of Christ. And as we function within this, we put off the old self as we put on love like Christ did. Brandon talked all about this last week. He even covered the microphone up to show that you could not see the microphone anymore and said you saw his hand, the way that Christ covers us. As we put off the old self, we put on the new self as we start walking with Christ. We're called to do that, church. Chapter 4 then ends with a sing-songy verse that I'm going to sing for us that we learned at camp last year. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. Come on. Come on. So, this is exciting because that right there kicks off the next chapter, because chapter 5 starts with a therefore. Michael Pippen, where are you at? Therefore is therefore a reason. And this is exciting. Because of that, what I just sang, thanks for bearing with me through that. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, I'm going to unpack what this word imitator means, look at it in the original Greek. But before we do that, I want to look at another word, a word that sometimes gets thrown at us as Christians from those on the outside of the church, and that word is hypocrite. Hypokrates. Hypokrates in the original Greek here. It's a masculine noun, hupo meaning under, and krino, the other base, meaning judge, under judge, like you are performing under a mask, like an actor. Or a pretender. I want you to say this with me on three. Stop pretending. One, two, three. Stop pretending. This isn't about just doing what we think people need us to do for them. Instead, we are called to walk in a manner worthy to our calling. We are called to walk in the love of Christ. And so the bar is up here as we are called to be imitators. Now, let's look at the Greek for the word for imitator, mimetes, is the way that this is said. And it means exactly what we think it means as an imitator. But one of the things that's interesting of this word mimetes is our root word for the English mimic comes from this, from mimetes. So here's what I want us to say about this one. We're going to say mimic Christ on three. One, two, three. Mimic Christ. That's our call. Church, we get to mimic what Christ did. Imitators, walk in a manner worthy to our calling. Walk in a manner worthy to his love. Chapter 5 continues to see what this looks like as we continue to breeze through it. What does this look like within the relationship of husbands and wives? What does it look like going into chapter 6, children and parents? Bondservants and masters. But we end up getting to a point where then moving into the second half of chapter 6. Putting on the full armor of God because we are not fighting a physical battle. We're not going to go into these villages in India and start chucking Bibles at people and telling them turn or burn or anything like that. We're just going to go in and tell them Jesus' story. And they get to respond because they've never heard. This is a spiritual battle that we are doing. And Paul, he ends this passage on putting on the full armor of God, asking them to do something for him. He says this, to that point, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. He says, as I ought to speak. Paul is then calling us here to be an ambassador. We're going to say that on three. One, two, three. Be an ambassador. This is so fun that we get to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Why do we need to declare it boldly, we might ask. And we have done a number of prayers already this morning asking that we would go and proclaim this boldly. But we get to proclaim it boldly because the way that they respond is not dependent on us who were sharing Jesus' story. It's a spiritual battle, not a physical one. So that we, if I can point back to the beginning of chapter 1, where we started some of our time together in verse 13. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory in him. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It's our responsibility to just tell the story. We get to do that with love and modeling that love for them all the meanwhile. And so not only are we chosen and called, but this morning we have represented that as we have been commissioned and sent. There's cards on your chairs. You might have them picked up in your hand by now. On one side it says yes. And what we're going to do, we're going to have a response time where you get to give God your yes. And there are some opportunities on the back of that card that I want you to fill out. You fill that out, and we're going to have a time through the last song, as I'm done and I wrap it up, that you're going to bring these up onto the stage, and you're going to check one of the options on there. Either you are going to be telling Jesus' story in your community, in my community, or you can be telling Jesus' story among unreached, unengaged people groups, UUPGs. You can be helping to financially support others to tell Jesus' story. Sorry for the typo there. I'm messed up. I'm not good enough. I will never be holy and blameless. But because of Christ, I'm seen worthy in the Father's eyes as he chose me. Praying for our India team and future efforts to advance God's kingdom. And the last one is to commit to serving on a Sunday morning E-team. Our ushers are passing out some pens for you to do that as well. And I want us to think about something. We've got just a little over 5 minutes left in our time. And I want us to think about this as we get to go and just tell the story. We sang a song this morning, which is crazy exciting. Had an opportunity to share with my grandma, who's here this morning, some of just the stories from what happened the last time I was in India, from the last time that I was in Turkey, and just the way that God showed up. And she responded to me. She said, "Luke, that reminds me of my mom's favorite song. I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love." I want you to say that you love to tell the story. Love to tell the story. 1, 2, 3. Love to tell the story. As a part of that song is theme in glory. I want us to look forward now out of the book of Ephesians. Don't worry about flipping to this one. Just listen with me here. Revelation 7:9 gives us a picture of this theme in glory that we have to look forward to. It says, "A great multitude that no one could number from every nation." Say every nation. 1, 2, 3. Every nation. "All tribes and all peoples." Say all peoples on 3. 1, 2, 3. "All peoples and all languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's where we started, isn't it, church? That God the Father chose us. He brought it about through his Son. And we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Here we see our theme in glory will be to be singing of this forever. And when's that going to happen? What do we get to look forward to? I presented that number to you earlier with our H Daring faith goal of 3,300 to 3,400 unreached, unengaged people groups left. Matthew 24:14 says this. I want you to listen carefully here. "The testimony of the gospel will be taken to all nations, and then the end will come." What's between us and this glory that we sing about in that song? Those 3,300 to 3,400 unreached, unengaged people groups that have yet to hear the gospel, to respond in salvation like we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. As we started off looking at 12 verses together, from the course of that, you've repeated 11 phrases with me. And I want us to look at these 11 phrases. You were chosen. You were loved before boundaries. Dead in sin, by grace through faith. Stop pretending. Mimic Christ. Be an ambassador. Love to tell the story to every nation, all peoples. If you have never trusted in Jesus as your Savior before, and this is your first time hearing that, to bring about your salvation, we express that through the attitude of your heart, and it's a prayer. It sounds just like what I just did right there. You've already said it. But we believe that we are all sinful and that we are not worthy. We can never be holy and blameless before God's sight like he chose us to do. And so he brought it about through his Son, who lived a perfect life to be our perfect sacrifice, to be brought back into relationship with God. He died on the cross and rose 3 days later, conquering our sin, conquering death. And so if you all will bow with me, I will pray this. And if this is your first time that you will be praying this, we are done. I just want you to circle that big word yes on the other side.